Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. While attending seminary, Jessica and I became the unofficial liaisons to the international students, who quickly became good friends. They had left families, some of them children, and a comfortable way of life to fly halfway across the globe to get an education. Culture shock is a real thing. They were from Ghana and Myanmar, Angola, South Korea, and Sri Lanka, to name just a few. And without question, regardless of where they came from, the first thing they wanted to do was to experience authentic American food. Where do you take someone to experience authentic American food? I heard it. Well, we went to McDonald's for a classic cheeseburger and fries. Greasy, fast, made with absolutely no love. Our new neighbors watched as people in the back on that assembly line opened up filing cabinets filled with patties, passing it down the line for pickles and an inaccurate squirt of ketchup as it's wrapped and then put down the chute and onto their tray. And they were so polite, by the way. They were eating it, and they said, "This is so good." But their faces were saying, "This is industrial and not very authentic." But with billions served, we kind of have to own that, yes, it is authentic food. However, they had heard that in their own countries that America was a melting pot of cultures. And so they wanted to try another culture's authentic food. And they had heard about Mexican food, which used spices besides salt and pepper. So we went to a Mexican restaurant. And no, it wasn't Taco Bell. The food that they ordered was the simple Mexican food that we might get around here. And someone ordered a burrito. But they were unprepared for how we do it here. And after a little bit of silence, someone just started laughing because there was so much cheese on their burrito. It was just dripping off the burrito, and everything they had was just dripping with cheese. And so after this experience, our friend Luke John invited us over, and he would cook us an authentic Sri Lankan dinner, chicken curry with rice. And he began early in the morning mixing the spices, curry, coriander, cinnamon, and a healthy dose of chili powder. And these weren't just any spices, but their Sri Lankan students would bring spices to those who were in the U.S. So these were spices from home. And then Luke added the special cut of chicken in which he would have had back home, keeping the bone in. And all day, he just let it stew. Later that night, we sat down, had a prayer, and had one of the most delicious meals we ever had. You know when you can taste something authentic. You know after that first bite that it's honest, that someone put love into it. I'm sure some of you are thinking, instead of going to McDonald's, you should have invited them over to my house. I would have made them something real good. We know when it's not rushed. We know when it's been given attention. We also know when someone just smothers the good stuff over it to cover up something. In a conversation this week, someone shared with me their frustration about Christmas. They are upset about the emphasis which is placed on stuff and having more and more stuff and not emphasizing Christ, God with us. And the significance of that for us and for our world. Instead of preparing our hearts for the grace and love of God, we consume a Christmas that is not based on authentic theology or biblical understanding, but on our own desires, our wants, instant gratification. This morning, Mary does not offer us a fast food theology, which is quick, without love, and usually all about numbers, usually about getting into heaven. She does not offer us a theology smothered with prosperity or being the best or supreme. Much like Luke John in this morning's scripture passage, Mary is offering something authentic. She pours her heart out, and along with the labor of love, which is literally being in labor with love itself, God's Son, Mary's soul magnifies the Lord, awakens to who God is and how God is moving. Now, Mary may be a teenager, but she is already well-versed in the hierarchical nature of her society. She sits at the very bottom. She is young, she's a girl, she's pregnant, but she's not married. Mary doesn't have a lot of rights, even to her own body. Others would not have wanted to associate with her, especially given her scandalous situation. And she names it herself, "I am in a lowly state." The CEB will say, "I am of low status." And we could also use the word privilege. I am the one of little to no privilege. Low economic privilege, low gender privilege, low age privilege. And yet, this is amazing. Even for Mary, God looks upon her with favor. God does not abide by this hierarchy. In fact, God flips that upside down. God looks upon Mary, one of low status, with favor and love. When others avoid her, when others reinforce the status quo, God looks upon favor with her. This God is her Savior because she needs saving. This God favors those at a disadvantage, who are poor, who lack protection and privilege. Each verse of Mary's song carries a familiar spice, a pattern recalling God's past activity. Every line echoes of the scriptures of Israel, which reveal a God that looked upon the enslaved with favor and saved them from Pharaoh, who looked upon the widows and orphans with favor and demanded food and shelter be provided, who observed a defenseless nation who were called horrible names by petty and egomaniac leaders, and God delivered them from those same empires who boasted the world's strongest military. There is a spice that has been passed down from generation, and it is an authentic ingredient. Called liberation, that God is the God of the oppressed and the marginalized, who identifies with them and their condition to bring about wholeness, or we may call salvation. After all, we are in the season where we wait for Christ, for God to be born, and we may want to ask ourselves, what kind of God chooses to be born in a barn? You and I didn't get to choose who our parents were or where we were born, but God chose Mary. God chose a barn. God chose a community of what were considered lowly shepherds to be the first to witness and perhaps hold the Christ child. What kind of God chooses straw and the stench of livestock to that of a palace with pillows and nice fragrances. We put a barn on our altar with a young teenage mother, a simple carpenter. And where is God? Where is Christ? The child born out of wedlock. The child whose parents could not afford a place to stay. A child whose family will be forced to be a refugee to Egypt because the hostility of his country. Mary gives us a lot to think about these next 3 days. Like, where will God be born this year? If God chooses barns, if God chooses the Marys and the Josephs, if God chooses to experience humanity not in wealth and privilege, but on the margins. If God is the refugee child, what desert will God be born in this Christmas? And why is it that way? One biblical scholar calls the Magnificat the great New Testament song of liberation, personal and social, moral and economic, a revolutionary document of intense conflict and victory. And this may be the most challenging part for many of us. God has favor upon the lowly. God even lifts the lowly and fills the hungry with good things, brings them aid. And anyone that has ever been in a position in need of aid or help, you know that this is good news. It's great news. It is life-saving news. However, Mary sings that God scatters the proud of heart, sends away the rich with nothing, brings down the powerful from their thrones. Or in Isaiah's word, every valley shall be lifted and every mountain made low. For those on thrones, for those with privilege, the liberating God who is bringing about shalom, the communal well-being of all, is a challenge. As a straight man, I must recognize the privilege of my marriage, the security that it won't be taken away, and the comfort that people will not mock or harass my relationship, misusing and abusing the word sin. As a cisgender male, I must recognize the privilege of using a restroom without intimidation or fear. As a white man, I must recognize that my skin color offers me certain protections, and statistically in areas of health, education, security, I have more advantages than siblings who are black and brown. Now, I'm not exempt from suffering, from pain, from loss, or tragedy, and God knows the time my bank account couldn't pay for a tank of gas. But there is an order, a structure that does benefit me, privileges that others are denied. Mary's song is authentic to who God is and how God moved. It is revolutionary. It is political. It is just a taste of what her son will radically embody on earth. The one who calls us to drop our nets and follow. The one who calls us to step down from our thrones and be with and empower the lowly. Whenever you take care of the hungry, Jesus says, whenever you take care of the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the least of these, you take care of me. As we wait for Christmas, this is good news, great news, saving news for the Marys, for those in need, a God that is Emmanuel. However, we are also invited to think about what may keep us from truly following the star and joining God in the stable? Are we really ready and willing to go to places God would be born this year, will be born this year? Are we willing to be with God and with those whom God chose to be with? God, in God's power, in God's privilege of being creator, could have chosen to be born anywhere, could have lived in whatever neighborhood, could have chose for the sake to do what God pleased, but God chose for the sake of shalom and the kingdom of God to choose a barn. Parents struggling to meet ends meet, chose to be with the lowly. And in this season, when our hearts are tuned to the needs of the lowly and move and give, then our hearts are tuned with the Christ child. In this season, we are reminded that that is where and with whom God's hope, peace, joy, and love will be born. Amen. Amen.